Welcome into the podcast, everyone. Week 9 in the NFL, and it's week 9 in fantasy football. We're starting to come down the home stretch. The end is in sight. You know whether or not you're a good team or not at this point. Cody, do you have some good teams?
I am one of those teams. I think all three of my teams, I think, will make the playoffs. And that's all I can ask for. I'm not saying any of them are dominant, but I'm in two leagues that I think top to bottom, we're talking first place to seventh place, is less than a 50-point differential. So if I'm in the playoffs, I figure I got a shot.
Well, you know how I roll, too, because I play in five leagues. Only one of them I care about. You're with me most Sundays. I don't even look at them. I don't even pay attention to them. I just go home. I get the general idea. I sit down. You know, I kind of unwind in the man cave, put a record on, maybe bring up the old laptop, and then I take a look at what happened because, you know, I only really care about one. The rest are just for money. This is for pride, damn it. And those are the ones that are important. Got a great podcast for you today. Joining us here after our lock segment will be BJ Rudell, author of Fantasy Football for Winners. Some great information from him. As always, give us a follow on Twitter. You can reach out to us at Fantastic2FF. Individually, you can catch us. I'm at RDub45. You can catch Cody at CodyBTap. If you're still living in the early 21st century, I guess.
Yeah, right around there.
Hit us up on Gmail, fantastic2ff@gmail.com. But as always, we start off the show each and every week by asking the question, who's playing the Jags? Well, we don't get to do it this week, man.
I know, it's so disappointing.
You want to do a Snagglepuss impression? No?
The Jaguars are on bye this week.
Nobody plays the Jags this week, but I'm sure they'll somehow find a way to lose this weekend. The Jaguars will have something bad happen to them.
They'll be the first 0-17 team in league history. They just get a loss on a bye week for no other reason.
We were talking about this. My brother and I were talking about this. If the Jags and the Bucks played, because, you know, they both are terrible, and if somehow that could manage to be a tie, that would seem to be right to me.
That would be very appropriate. I don't disagree. It'd probably be like a 13-13 tie. I don't want to put this game in the 20s.
All right, guys. Well, nobody's playing the Jags, so you don't know who's playing the bottom of the barrel this week. But there's always time to go sifting through the wire. Cody, we talk about this all the time. You and I stress preparation in life. I didn't prep anything for Through the Wire, and it's not because I'm being lazy. It's because there's really nobody out there. If you haven't taken advantage of the waiver wire through the first 8 weeks of the season, then that's your own damn fault.
I've got just a few guys. It'll be a short segment. It's just a few guys that probably should be owned in every league. Any league we're in, Ryan, where people actually know what they're doing or have signed comps. If you were listening to this and you're still struggling, Andre Ellington, up from last week where he was only owned in 14% of leagues, now only owned in 28. He is a starting running back, and they have vowed to give him more carries in the offense. How he's owned in 28% of ESPN standard leagues,
I
don't know.
It's amazing to me, and after last week's 100-plus yard performance, the guy broke an 80-yard run, and I don't know if you've got Game Rewind or had a chance to go back and watch that highlight. Wow.
15 for 154 last week. And I know it's hard for him to get in the end zone. Another guy is Terrence Williams. Still only owned in 60% of leagues. Guys caught a touchdown in four straight games.
One of those ancillary players for the Dallas Cowboys. And the nice part about those guys, number one, Miles Austin starting to look further and further away from healthy. Terrence Williams has really been reaping the benefits of that injury to Miles Austin. And the interesting thing that you look at is the productivity of Dez Bryant doesn't seem to really fluctuate much week to week. So you always know that you have a guy who will demand and draw attention. Even when he's being double covered, he can overcome that, as we saw last week against Detroit, scoring two touchdowns. But again, a guy who I am confused as to why he's still out there. In week 9, we shouldn't be having this conversation.
Well, like you talk about it, he gets to be opposite of a good quarterback. He gets to be the opposite of Dez Bryant. So he's getting all the single coverage on his side, and it has worked very well, averaging 78 yards a game and a touchdown in each of the last four.
Well, and we talked about it with our man Wiggles, that NFC East wide open, especially coming down the home stretch as they play each other a whole lot. And Washington, Dallas, they're all pretty shitty defenses.
Just one left on my list for Through the Wire, and it's really just a bye week fill-in guy. I understand he's not sexy. His name is Brian Hartline. His ownership has been plummeting. Tannehill's not been playing very well, and down goes Hartline. He's down to 45% in ESPN Standard League's ownership. You know, he's still averaging more points a week than Cecil Shorts, the third most targeted wide receiver in the NFL, and T.Y. Hilton, a guy that people are really high on now that Reggie Wayne's down. He's still higher than both of those guys. Yeah. You tell me you can't start him for a game? Yeah. You know, that's crazy. On a 12-man, in a 12-man league, Hartline probably should be out.
Well, and I have a hard time figuring out the Dolphins' offense. You, a Dolphins fan, should know this more than anyone. They can't figure out the running back situation. They don't know who they want to give the pill to. Lamar Miller seems like he's a clear-cut winner based on carries.
Way more athletic, too.
But at the same time, target-wise, you're looking at two guys that have been underperforming at their position. We all expected Hartline to perform at that wide receiver
that
one level.
That 1,000-yard mark last year.
Yeah, especially when you have a guy who can take the top off the defense like Mike Wallace. So for Brian Hartline to be coming up short this time of year and Mike Wallace to be coming up short, it's confusing. All right, guys, that's the waiver wire segment. I know the
it's thin.
The pickings are slim. But to remedy that, we welcome onto the podcast BJ Rudell, author of Fantasy Football for Winners. Give him a follow on Twitter at BJ Rudell. That's BJRUDELL. He is the one and only BJ Rudell. BJ, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Ryan. How are you doing tonight?
You know, I can't complain. I don't have a single fantasy football team that's lower than 500. All are at or above 500. Actually, just one right at 500 with the 4-win mark. So I'm doing pretty damn good, man.
Right on.
All right. Well, let's just dive right into this because I know you've got your wife and kids you got to get back to. We talk a lot about the difference between top tier guys and the middle of the road guys. We talk a lot about that in the preseason, and we see a lot of that at the running back for position. Now, for some of those that might not have listened to us in the offseason and didn't load up on those running backs early, who are some of those middle-of-the-road backs that owners could go out and target in trades and not really have to sell the farm?
Yeah, there's probably three levels in middle-of-the-road in my mind. One is the middle-of-the-road guy who should have been better and haven't been, and that's Chris Johnson. But his last four games, you got to look at his matchups. He went up against the Jets, the Chiefs, the Seahawks, and the Niners. You talk about tough defenses. The schedule gets a lot easier. So even though they're talking today about Chris Johnson essentially splitting carries with Sean Green, I think you can go out, get Chris Johnson, and not give up too much for him. Then there's Zach Stacy, who's a middle-of-the-road running back, but he's carrying the load in St. Louis. And so you got to think about at least getting him. And you shouldn't have to give up too much for him. He's probably the 18th best running back. And Andre Ellington is a guy who's stepping up. He may not start for a few more weeks. It may take Arizona a while to realize that they've got their star running back in him. But in the meantime, with Rashard Mendenhall expected to start in the future, you can probably pay very little to get Andre Ellington and maybe get a bargain by playoff time.
Well, you talk a little bit about Zach Stacy. He's coming off his two biggest games of the season against Carolina and Seattle, and then he's still got a tough division road. What workload, what do you expect out of him the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think he's going to be a pretty consistent 60 to 90 total yard guy, and that is that he's going to be able to get you about 6 to 14 fantasy points week in and week out. Wide gap, obviously, so I'm not saying too much that people don't know, but the point is he gets about 20 carries a game, 20 touches a game. That means it's going to be clear in 60 yards. He's not going to have one of those games where he gets 38 yards and, he's just a waste. The key is for him whether or not he can get in the end zone. With Kellen Clemens, a quarterback, the question remains, is that offense going to stall more than when Bradford was a quarterback? I still like Stacy as a solid middle-of-the-road running back that people can get without paying the farm.
Well, we talk about giving up the farm for somebody, and one of these higher draft picks in a lot of drafts was Tom Brady, and Brady just doesn't seem right this season. Cody and I have talked about this on several podcasts now, but his weapons are slowly starting to get healthy there in New England. Should owners continue to play the waiting game on Brady, or is it time to sell?
It's time to buy. I actually just traded for him a few days ago in one of my two leagues. Traded Eli Manning and Brandon Bolden, who's going to be worthless when Shane Vereen comes back, for Brady and Brandon Jacobs. Jacobs is a throwaway. I'm going to pick up someone better. But the point is, I feel like I upgraded by giving up Eli Manning and getting Tom Brady. Brady's going to be a guy who's going to get 2 to 3 touchdowns a game in the second half of the season. I said that a week ago. It's soon as everyone starts getting healthy, Gronk is in back 2 games, Amendola's in back 1 game, and Vereen's coming back probably in a couple weeks. People have to realize that, yeah, Tom Brady is not the same Tom Brady. There are various reasons why that's true, but one of the big ones is personnel. And having to have that, getting that chemistry back with his key guys is critically important to making Brady as good as he can be.
Well, you talk about upgrading yourself and putting yourself in a good position to win during the regular season, but you know, success in the regular season is great, but I'm sure you'd rather win in the playoffs. We've all had one of those fantasy seasons where we were in the driver's seat, and then come playoff time, players just give you clunkers when it matters. Who are some of those players that you think might help get you to the playoffs but won't win you a championship? And on the other side of that coin, who are some of those players that might be poised to break out around fantasy playoff time?
Yeah, that's a good question, Ryan. I would say in terms of guys who I think will let people down in the playoffs, Fred Jackson. You know, the clock is ticking on Fred Jackson's value. Any week now, he's going to be worthless. A lot of it hinges on the Bills finally resting C.J. Spiller, forcing him to the sidelines, let him heal up, and then get back in there and be a top-10 running back that he always has been. The other guy is Andre Johnson. He is a guy who still has not scored a touchdown, and it's not because he's not a great receiver. It's because Houston's offense is kind of a mess. Houston as a team is kind of a mess. And so I would not want to rely on Andre Johnson in that offense to put up more than 6 to 8 points a game. He's not the same guy that he's been in years past when Houston was high-flying.
Well, you're talking...
guys who will help me... Oh, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I was just saying, you're talking about some of these guys you expect to kind of falter coming down. Are there guys on the opposite side of this do you see have had bad seasons like Mike Wallace or Ray Rice that you're expecting to start producing in the second half?
I do. Ray Rice is someone who should be able to improve going forward. He is a guy who has not gotten the carries that he probably deserved, but at the same time, he's been weighed down, some say, because of all the carries that he's had to take over the past few seasons. You know, he's only 26 years old. But he's probably had a career at this point like a 28 or 29-year-old with the kind of load he's been forced to carry. I think Ray Rice will rebound. It's not a matter of if, but when. I like his matchups in weeks 14 and 16, which for most people are the first and championship rounds of the playoffs. And I think that even a slightly improved Ray Rice will help a lot of people's chances. I also think Jordy Nelson right now arguably is a top five receiver. Randall Cobb and JerMichael Finley out. Jordy Nelson is the guy that most people should try to grab if they haven't done so already. He is worth trading a high-end running back if you've got extras to spare to get a guy like Nelson who can be a real game-changer in your offense.
Last question for you, BJ, then we'll let you get back to the family. Ryan and I have struggled all season with predicting one position, and that is the tight end. Is there anyone outside the top four of those guys that are averaging that I can trust week in and week out?
Jordan Reed. You know, this is a guy who came out of nowhere to some extent. A lot of people thought Fred Davis would be the main guy in Washington to start the season. And I think Jordan Reed is a guy who should be a top five guy going forward. He's proven over the last 2 weeks he's legit. Everyone talks about him as you know, a very versatile offensive weapon in an offense that, as long as RG3 is healthy, should be able to put up 25 points a game. And the other guy is Martellus Bennett. There aren't a lot of more consistent offensive weapons at tight end position. He's not considered a top five tight end by most accounts, but he is a guy who's very good for 50 to 60 yards and a touchdown every 2 to 3 weeks. If you're getting that as tight end, you're doing all right.
He's the author of Fantasy Football for Winners. You follow him on Twitter, at BJ Rudell. He is the one and only BJ Rudell. You're putting my mind at ease today, BJ. Thanks a lot.
All right. Have a great Halloween. We'll see you later.
Thanks.
All right, well, BJ is busy trying to set you up as a winner, do some trading, get the job done. And, you know, I keep thinking we need to just have, like, a fantasy podcast based solely for trades. Are you good at trading? Are you good at the art of negotiation?
I usually do pretty well in trades. Usually it benefits me. Now, I had one trade earlier this year I tried to get you through. 10 players, big trade, and they said it was unfair that I was getting hosed. Just so you know, Ryan, I've been calculating every week the total points. Right now, I'd be up 35 extra points had you let me have this trade go through, and I'm the one getting shafted here.
That's...
Shame. Shame on those people for turning down my trade.
I hate the veto rules. I like the commish only veto.
Yeah, he determines if it's fair.
Yeah, I mean, if the two teams think it's fair, if the two owners agree, if they both push the accept button.
If we're adults, yeah.
Yeah, I think we should just go out back and mud pit fight this or something.
I agree.
Solve it the right way. All right, guys, let's move on to our locks of the week. Locking them down at quarterback this week. I'm going to go with my guy, Tony Romo. And you know what? I'm not a Dallas Cowboys fan. God, I probably shouldn't have said my guy. Now everybody's going to think I'm a Cowboys fan. But he's facing off against Minnesota, and they are pretty bad against the run. While his yardage outputs have been a little less than consistent this year, Romo is still in charge of a passing offense that has a ton of weapons, and the Vikings secondary has been absolutely torched this season. They've given up multiple passing TDs in all but two games this year, and Romo has thrown at least one touchdown in every game this season, four with multiple TDs. I think he makes it a fifth game with multiple TDs against a very susceptible Viking secondary.
I think that's pretty fair. I mean, Tony Romo has been one of the top 10 quarterbacks this season, and he gets to face one of the bottom barrel defenses. So when you got that opportunity, why not start the guy?
Well, let's face it, the only reason Eli Manning didn't have a better day against him is because they kept turning the ball over inside the 30. So who are you locking down this week, Cody?
This might be a stretch. And I'm a Dolphins fan, for anybody who hasn't listened to this podcast, so you can't call it a homer pick. Alex Smith. Oh, wait for it. I just said you should start Alex Smith this week. I'm feeling crazy. He just broke a three-game skid of no touchdowns, so that's a bad start. But he's facing Buffalo. 31st against the pass. They've allowed 11 passing touchdowns in the last three games, and they're starting quarterback. By the way, I mean second string, also rookie. They're going to go to Teal. They're going further down the depth chart with the rookies. Ugh. And the Bills are allowing, and you think, oh, it's in Buffalo. They're allowing 270 yards and three touchdowns a game to quarterbacks at home. Why not? Let's just throw caution to the wind. I know it's not a smart pick, but I like it.
Hey, week 9, a lot of buys in the week. You know what? Fuck it. Do it. Jay Cutler's out with injury.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do? Throw caution to the wind, Cody. I like it. Balls out. I like it, buddy. Moving on to the running back spot, Cody, who you got?
I'm bringing back Danny Woodhead. Been a few weeks since we talked about him, but he's been good. Three of the last four games, he's been in double digits. He's the prime target in the red zone still. We've talked about that. And the Redskins, I know we say this it seems like every week we talk about it. They're allowing 24.2 points per game against running backs. And that's not just like one running back torch them. They've allowed five teams to score 20-plus fantasy points in a week against them. Five. Of the seven. By the way, the other ones were 18 and 17 points.
Ugh, that's pretty bad. Actually, Danny Woodhead was almost my lock of the week this week, but I didn't do it because I've been a jinx to myself. Like anyone who I own heavily and I rely on heavily.
You don't want to say him.
I don't want to say him. So Danny Woodhead, he was a sneaky good pick for me. He's a flex spot in most of my leagues, and so I'm not going to put him on there. Locking it down this week, though, I'm going to take Alfred Morris. Other side of the ball there against the Chargers. And you want to know what? The Chargers are right in the middle of the road, so this isn't exactly a fashionable pick. They're 15th overall against running backs, but Morris has been incredibly consistent in both carries and yardage all season long. And while he's not been spectacular, he's yet to truly disappoint. The matchup isn't great, as I mentioned before. In fact, San Diego hasn't given up a TD to a running back all year. Crazy. Considering how bad we thought they were coming into the preseason. But
law of averages.
They haven't been tested, Cody. Only twice did they face 20 or more rushing attempts in a game. And those games were the only 100-plus yard rushing games they allowed this season. So is that a coincidence? I think not. Shanny gets it. He pounds the pill. Alfred Morris benefits, and hopefully Roy Helu doesn't sneak in there and vulture those touchdowns.
Well, the Chargers defense as a whole has been a little bit off, and RG3 lets up some points, so I think it will go a little bit back and forth in the scoring. How about moving on to wide receiver? Who's your guy that you're locking down this week?
All right, I'm breaking my own rule here because I did pick this guy up in a lot of leagues, so I'm going to roll with the dice here. Josh Gordon versus Baltimore. Baltimore's 21st against the pass, and it's skewed a little bit because of that week one matchup versus the Broncos when they gave up five touchdowns to wide receivers. But look, I doubted him against a tough Chiefs defense, and he lit them up, all right? The Chiefs are much better than the Baltimore Ravens on defense. Doesn't that sound weird to say? They are, though. They're much better. Are. Jason Campbell and him look to have a decent connection. He targeted him 10 times. And as I mentioned, while the Ravens haven't been giving away points to opposing wide receivers, they have given up 200 or more yards to opposing wideouts in each of their last three games. Very little running threat, I think, forces the Browns' hand in this one, and they have to throw a lot. I think Gordon's going to be the beneficiary of that one.
I have Andre Johnson. He hasn't gotten in the end zone. Isn't that crazy? Andre Johnson hasn't scored a single touchdown this season, and yet he's still averaging 8.4 points per game in standard ESPN leagues. That's not so bad. That's ahead of a lot of other guys who are getting in the end zone occasionally, and I just think that you can't hold him scoreless for a season. Just like you're saying law of averages, rushing touchdown, I'm saying they can't hold this guy down forever, and the Colts have allowed a wide receiver to score in every single game they played. So if someone's getting in the end zone, I'll put it on the line and hope it's Andre Johnson.
Let's move it on to tight end, a position that you and I have both had some struggles with. Let's just put it that.
Sure.
Who are you locking down?
Martellus Bennett, I guess. You know, believe it or not, he's the sixth highest.
Such conviction in your voice.
He's the sixth highest tight end. And this position has been unpredictable. Every week, but we don't all own Julius Thomas, Jimmy Graham. I can't tell you these guys every week because we don't all own them. I need to give you someone you have an actual chance to play. Because if you have Jimmy Graham, you're starting him anyway. But, you know, Green Bay is 30 thinking it's tight ends. McCown has to throw to someone, and usually people say this, like, backup quarterback. They go to the tight end for the safety net, and I think, you know, they'll have to throw a little bit to keep up with Rodgers, so Bennett's my guy.
You know what? We talked about it, we talk about it all the time. These tight ends are hard as shit to predict.
Tough.
My luck, fuck it, I'm going out with Jimmy Graham. I'm not doubting the guy. I don't care if he's got half a foot, if he's got four fingers. I don't care what happens to this guy. He's going to produce. Two touchdowns last week, as we mentioned, half of a torn...
plantar fascia.
Yeah, there you go. That's what that thing is called. That sounds painful, right? Very painful. Did not stop the guy. Two touchdowns. He's a focal point of that offense. The Saints run through him. Goal line looks... Come on, man. How are you going to doubt Jimmy Graham? Screw it. Jimmy Graham, lock him down, tight end. No brainer. Let's move him on down to the shut him down section of the show. Cody, who are you shutting down at QB this week?
2 weeks ago, I chose Tom Brady. Last week, I should have chose Tom Brady. And this week, I'm going to choose Tom Brady.
Shut you down!
I mean, he is struggling. And Pittsburgh is as good as it gets against quarterbacks. They have only allowed 5 passing touchdowns all season. Brady only has 5 in the last 4 weeks combined, which is way below his average, including going scoreless in a game. And just Pittsburgh, I know their defense is, I know their offense is bad. I get it. But defensively, they continue to shut people down. And I don't think this is the week that Tom Brady breaks out of the funk.
You know, I keep wanting and hoping and praying. We talked to BJ earlier, and he seems to think Tom Brady's
going to turn around.
For a turnaround. I don't think it's this week. I'm with you, man. I sat every pad I had, man.
So. I did too.
Quarterback this week, I'm shutting down Mr. Matt Ryan.
Shut you down!
Look, he's facing off against Carolina, the second best defense overall in the league right now.
Which is really shocking when you consider coming into the season.
And look, guys, I know it's hard to argue with the yardage totals, 300-plus yards in all but 2 games this year. And even the TDs have been there with Ryan throwing multiple scores in all but 1 contest. I just think this will be the stale week for him. He's coming off his worst performance of the year, a game where he threw 4 interceptions en route to 300 yards, and now he hits the road versus a very underrated Panthers D. Carolina's only allowed 1 300-yard passing game this season and is yet to surrender multiple passing touchdowns in a game. Something's got to give in this one, Cody, and I think it's that Atlanta offense.
I think the other factor of this, too, is Jonathan Stewart looks to play this Sunday. They're saying he's healthy enough to start, which means you know when the Panthers get both those guys, they get the monster back. They like to feed it. They like to get both those running backs a lot of touches and get the ball moving up and down the field.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about Mr. Jonathan Stewart coming up here a little later. But let's move on to running back, Cody. Who are you shutting down?
Lamar Miller.
Shut you down!
Bengals defense is good, and they are absolutely coming off the deconstruction of the Jets. Like, you are no longer a football team. They completely house them. And the Dolphins are not significantly better than the Jets. Let's just face it. You know, they can't protect the passer, and Cincinnati does that really well, which means when they can't pass the ball, it makes it awfully easy to know when the run's coming. They allowed 6 sacks in the second half alone, And Miller has had double digits in three of his last six games. But in those other three, he was less than 5 points a game. So how do you predict his output anyway? I think against a tough defense, you got to sit him.
Yeah, and we talked about it, Cody, that Miami offense just can't seem to figure anything out. And it's much like that Bengals backfield as well, where the carries seem to be going one guy's way, but the receiving options seem to be going the other guy's
way. I shut down the entire Bengals running back, and I do not regret it. They won 49, and yet you still shouldn't have started either of their running backs.
Five passing touchdowns on that day, Cody.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them were within the 10-yard line. That's maddening right there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Marvin Jones had a big game.
You know who I'm shutting down?
Who's that?
Fred Jackson.
Shut you down!
KC, another matchup situation. We talked about it with BJ. Guy looks like he's poised to start breaking down. And last week, I thought was a week that Fred Jackson could shine with CJ Spiller sidelined. But after his first five carries, you know, he collected 42 yards for those first five carries. I thought, hey, man, you know, he's on his way to having one hell of a day. But then you look at his final line, 15 carries, 45 yards, one touchdown. You can't help but wonder, what the hell happened? And Jackson is no Spiller, nor is he as good with him out there. Facing off against Kansas City's second-ranked rushing defense, I just don't see how Jackson is going to have the time. As I said, he's not a CJ Spiller. Jackson just does not look like a lead back this year. The Bills have called on him in the past to be that guy, and he's risen to the occasion. I don't think it's this week, though. Injuries are already a concern with him here, and now he gets the Chiefs D. I'm looking elsewhere for production this week.
Our man Wiggles told us early in the season that he was one of the only guys averaging double-digit points every week until he finally fell off from those other guys with Forte and Charles, and it's like it's been a slow, steady decline, and this is indicative. Just like Ray Rice is usually better in the second half of a fantasy season, Fred Jackson is usually worse. It's nice to own him in the beginning, and it is much harder to own him at the end. I think you're probably right. What are you doing at wide receiver?
You know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago where I said I'm done doubting Torrey Smith. I'm not, apparently.
Shut you down!
Torrey Smith, I'm shutting him down, versus Cleveland, and a lot of this has to do with the Joe Hayden factor. Look, he has gotten to that Daryl Revis point, you know? Like he has gotten to that spot. Just one TD all year from Torrey Smith as it is. Double-digit fantasy points just twice from the guy. I doubt his comeback performance is going to be this week against Cleveland and Joe Hayden.
I just think unless it's Megatron at this point, Joe Hayden is one of those guys you're going to want to shut a wide receiver against because he has been locking everyone down. As bad as that team is, the defense has actually been keeping him in it.
Yeah, that'd be a nice little matchup, though.
Yeah.
Joe Hayden, Megatron.
That'd be fun.
I wouldn't mind watching. God, Megatron last week.
Oh, that was nice.
My nipple just got hard thinking about it. Cody, who are you locking down a wideout?
Shutting down. You might wonder why
I was thinking about hard nipples. I'm sorry.
You might wonder why I didn't give you an opinion on why your lock is Josh Gordon. It's because it's my shut him down.
Shut you down!
Truth be told, we'll find out soon enough.
Oh, this is the first time this happened all
year. Oddly enough. I had almost exactly some of the same stuff. The notes. I know that they're the 22nd ranked pass defense. I know that his numbers are skewed because Peyton's 58-point performance. Like, I know that the Denver's defensive numbers are skewed. Gordon's inconsistent play. I don't trust the guy throwing him the ball. It's just this up and down mess, and I think the Broncos want to assert their authority. I think that they match up really well against the Browns, and that's part of the reason I think they can get to the quarterback to a point that Josh Gordon can't do much. And listen, the Chiefs got to the quarterback and Josh Gordon still did well. But it was one big play. It was still the big play. Time will tell, but I just don't like him this week.
Okay, I can get with it to a degree. I understand the matchup is pretty difficult for him actually, but I think my key to that is the fact that, number one, their running game is terrible.
Oh, it's bad. Really bad. Obanaya McGahee, he can't get anything going.
And Baltimore knows that. They know how to attack the run and how to make that not work. And you saw some gadget plays last week from the Browns because they know how bad their running game is. So I think that forces their hand in this one. And not to mention, Josh Gordon has put up five or more catches and 100-plus yards with three different quarterbacks this year, Cody. I'm pretty sure I could go out there and throw the ball and Josh Gordon could put up 100 yards. So, whatever, man. Time will tell. You shutting down a tight end this week? Because I'll let you know this. I'm not.
Pretty much all of them you shut down. But for me in particular, don't start Scott Chandler.
Shut you down!
He is the 16th best tight end.
Who's starting Scott Chandler?
He is the 16th best tight end. If you start him against the Chiefs, you're an idiot. Mostly, this is the point to point out, not only shut down Scott Chandler this week, do not start any tight end against the Chiefs the rest of the season. You know how many yards a game they're allowing against the tight end? Like, take a shot in the dark?
4.
It's a little more than that, 36. And 0 touchdowns. They have allowed 0 touchdowns to tight ends and 36 yards a game. It's not worth starting a tight end against them.
Don't ask me to guess, Cody. I'm always going to lowball you.
36 is that is a shockingly low number, even in a tight end year where you can't predict it. There is no way you should start Scott Chandler, but just at all costs, avoid tight ends against the Chiefs.
All right, guys. Well, that's the shut them downs for the week. Get those guys out of your lineup or, leave them in there. It's up to you, but it's at your chagrin or malign.
Yeah, I'm going to make fun of you later if you do it. If you go against the grain and then I'm right, I'm going to make fun of you.
I'm going to make fun of you if you're fucking starting Scott Chandler anyway, man.
Your team is in last place if you're starting Scott Chandler, I'm pretty sure.
You know what time it is, Cody? It's nap time. Check out who's sleeping. This week's sleeping for me. You mentioned him earlier, man. Jonathan Stewart. Look, I talked about him 3 weeks ago on the podcast in our waiver wire segment. I said he's looking healthy. Reports out of Carolina were that he had good burst. You know, they like to toy with people with these injury reports and tell you the guy, oh, we don't know if he's going to be healthy enough. Guess what? Okay, when scouts and media are telling you we're at practice and
he looks good,
he's got good burst. Now, granted, a lot of guys, as you mentioned, look good throwing a ball with their shirt off. He wasn't in pads. A lot of guys look good running through the ladders and
sure, and
doing okey drills. Yeah, that's...
But he's a professional. He knows how to do this.
The other thing, let's just stop and think about this. Somehow, some way, Carolina, their rushing attack is in the top 5 in the NFL. Amazing. Now you get that two-headed tandem back again. I don't think this is going to be a week where he's necessarily given a heavy workload right off the get-go.
Because
D'Angelo Williams, he's been productive.
Yep.
But he's probably going to be the red zone guy, and he's probably going to get some carries. And when you get a couple of carries inside the 5, you only need one or two of those to make your fantasy day into a double-digit day. I think Jonathan Stewart has a good chance to do that.
My sleeper, I'm going to running back too. Mostly I went with this position because I know how hard it is this time of the season with people on bye. You got Gore on bye this week, and he has been a top 3 fantasy running back. I'm going Bilal Powell. It's kind of confusing to me. 2 weeks ago, he was a top 15 running back. And then they just decided to, like, put concrete shoes on him, sink him to the bottom of the river, make this guy disappear kind of stuff. Like, they just decided...
Swimming with the fishes, see?
We don't use this guy anymore. And it makes no sense, but Chris Ivory came off that 34-carry game, 156 yards, and then last week looked like Chris Ivory. Wasn't very good, wasn't productive. They gave them equal carries, 10 and 11. And Bilal Powell was a little bit on the higher end. Not a particularly great game, but I think this is when they finally go back to him. I don't think it's going to be a world beater numbers. I think it's probably where he was when he was being a top 15 guy, 75 yards and a touchdown. But I think this is the time to go back to the Bilal Powell. Well, I just think that the ship has sailed on Chris Ivory again.
Well, last week's Cincinnati matchup aside, none of those Jets games have really been barn burners. They've managed to keep their points low all year, and that's why they've been actually somewhat effective with those running backs. And you've been all up on the gonads of Bilal Powell all year, so... I could see it turning around for him.
I'm hoping.
Gonads. You going to be a prick this week and rub it in, Cody? Who you got? I told you so.
I made a couple of good calls last week. You got anybody? Anybody you're proud? Any I told you so? You're the best around. Nothing's going to ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's going to ever keep you down. You're the best around.
There's a little fella named Matthew Stafford I told you to start last week, and
that worked out.
It worked out pretty well. Pretty well. Now, I don't think it's going to happen week in and week out to the Dallas Cowboys, but Peyton Manning's made him look pretty bad. Matthew Stafford's made him look pretty bad. When they face those elite quarterbacks, you should probably get him in there. Matt Stafford, 485 yards. The guy almost cracked 500.
329 of that to Calvin Johnson.
I don't know what more you want. What do you want from the guy? He's giving you all he's got, Cody. Just take it. just enjoy Matthew Stafford for what he is. He's on a bye week this week, so let him sit back and enjoy his chunky soup or whatever the hell it is he endorses, and he'll be back at it in week 10. Matthew Stafford. Got it. All right, guys, that's going to do it for this week's podcast. Thanks again to BJ Rudell for hopping on and guiding us down this treacherous path that is fantasy football. That was well-worded, I suppose.
Very eloquent.
Thanks. I like it. As always, guys, we appreciate the input, so hit us up on Twitter at Fantastic2FF. You can catch me at RDev45. You can catch Cody at CodyBTap. Give our man BJ Rudell a follow on Twitter as well, at BJ Rudell. It's R-U-D-E-L-L, at BJ Rudell, author of Fantasy Football for Winners. Check out his work. Great guy. Wish you
has
happy
a family.
Halloween. I mean, come on. The guy wants you to have a good Halloween. So, there you go. All right, guys. That'll be it for this week. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Now show them titties.